You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 4th, 2020, this is breaking news. Details still coming in. What is being described as a Titanic explosion shaking the Lebanese capital, Beirut, shaking buildings 10 miles away. Apparently it all happening in the middle of the city, destroying a newspaper office facility, wiping out, basically, the offices of that Beirut newspaper. They still don't know what caused it. Don't know if it's a terrorist act or some kind of accident. You'll be hearing more about that and the explosion from Beirut. Back on this side of the water, Isaias is hitting North Carolina, already creating problems for many. More than 100 million Americans from North Carolina to Maine are under tropical storm warnings. As Isaias churns up the East Coast, they will expect flash flooding, numerous tornadoes, power outages. One meteorologist says winds and rain are obviously going to bring down limbs, maybe trees, and you will see many power outages. The storm at last report, sustained winds of 70 miles per hour, just 4 miles under being officially a hurricane at this point, and 70 miles southwest of Philadelphia. The New York City Health Commissioner is resigning from her post, and in her resignation letter, she did what I'm glad to see her do. She cited one of the reasons to leave is how Mayor Bill de Blasio has handled the coronavirus pandemic. She says, I leave my post today with deep disappointment that during the most critical public health crisis in our lifetime, that the health department's incomparable disease control expertise was not used to the degree it could have been. New York health officials have been clashing with de Blasio as he made his decision to take the health department's responsibility for COVID-19 contact tracing and give it to the public hospital system. Glad to see some are finally calling out the leadership of New York City and hopefully the governor for the things they've done wrong about COVID. Of course, the mainstream media will never report that story. They will focus only what they can to say that Trump has not done things correctly. We do have some good news coming out of the midst of this right now. The Commerce Department reporting factory orders increasing 6.2%. And they expected a gain of only 5%, so that's very good news. Manufacturing, steadier footing, rebounding, slowly getting us back up to steam. You know, with all the talks about cutting back on police departments and so forth, you knew there was going to be an increase in crime. How could there not be? Well, now crime is coming to the rich in New York City, the Upper East Side, where you find residents such as billionaire Glenn Dubin and a hedge funder, John Paulson. That entire area apparently recently riddled with an uptick in crime, including gunpoint robberies. And they want to cut back police departments, right? The Seattle police chief, meanwhile, is urging the elected leaders of that city to stand up and protect the city. Do not go into defunding. Last night, many of these protesters showed up outside her home. They were aggressive, shouting, making noise at the home of the police chief because she is not in favor of cutting her budget, obviously. And speaking of things being cut in Boston, the highly trained SWAT team praised for capturing the Boston Marathon bomber in 2013 will now possibly be disbanded because we got to cut somewhere. Let's get rid of the SWAT team if we're going to make the left happy. Think that's going to satisfy? Nope. You think more crime will happen? Yes. And we're going to get into that in the next segment. And now Senator Cruz is coming up with a bill to help businesses who are caught in the midst of this stupid decision and philosophy that we are safer without police. Without police, we will be much safer. I yet to see some of the leftists stand in the middle of a crime zone and say, I don't need the police. I'll just see if I can live here untouched. Good luck with that.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
So are you ready to get out from the COVID-19 scare? We might still need to be careful in some areas. I do encourage businesses to make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And of course, if you open up and then a client or an employee or someone else surfaces with COVID-19, you need to reevaluate what's going on. I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. They can determine at a very reasonable cost what you need to do before you open, once you are open, and as you move forward. It just makes good sense, doesn't it? Wellington Environmental, for 30 years, has been treating situations at hospitals, schools, daycare centers, private homes. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's, low number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're seeing radicals who are trying to really tear down our society. And none of this should be complicated. You have a right to protest. I have a right to protest peacefully. We have a right to speak our minds. The First Amendment protects that. What you and I don't have a right to do is hurt somebody else. You don't have the right to physically assault someone else, to firebomb a police car, to loot and destroy a small business, to murder a police officer. And sadly, we've seen all of that in riots throughout the country. And all of that at the same time is being facilitated and even encouraged by Democratic politicians who have made a very cynical decision not to allow the police officers to actually do their job and protect physical safety, protect property. And so they've ordered the police officers to pull back, and they're letting their cities burn.
Letting their cities burn. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. He is chairing a hearing of the Judiciary Committee's subcommittee on the Constitution today. And they're investigating groups such as Antifa. They've been active for years, but recently escalating, of course, in the wake of George Floyd's death, and combining with Black Lives Matter and trying to all be one big group. Senator Cruz's hearing is titled, "The Right of the People Peaceably to Assemble, Protecting Speech by Stopping Anarchist Violence." And every point he just laid out and made, you know, I know, even those on the left know, constitutionally, you are allowed to protest, free speech, even burn a U.S. flag, though I may not like it. But when you start vandalizing property, when you start attacking police or innocent civilians nearby, and you cause a riot, you have exceeded your First Amendment rights. So the intent of this hearing today is to go over some of those points. And in fact, part of his opening statement, the senator is playing a video showing peaceful protest led by civil rights leaders such as Martin Luther King Jr. And said, look at the difference between what was going on then that led to a monumental change in our nation compared to what we have going on now. Attacking police, mobs swarming through communities, destroying businesses, looting. Because if they can get in and get it for free, that's what they're going to do. To hell with the original intent of honoring the death of someone they say was improperly killed by police. And the George Floyd case is a perfect example. Should not have gone down the way it did. That still does not give them a right to go and attack innocents who had nothing to do with it, or even attack police who had nothing to do with that case. And none of it had anything to do with the attacks on the courthouse in Portland. We don't have, in the process of all of this, we don't have folks anywhere near the mindset of a Martin Luther King Jr. No, these folks are coming and looking for a fight. These folks, the senator points out, are absolutely looking to make a noise and point for themselves. And they want to do everything they can to get your attention. And the way they see getting your attention, the most valuable way for them to get your attention is to go to the streets. Again, the words of Senator Ted Cruz.
These are violent leftists. Many of them are anarchists. Some are affiliated with Antifa, a national terrorist organization. Others are affiliated with a group called Black Lives Matter, which was founded by and is run by open Marxists, people who are calling for a Marxist government in the United States.
Yes, that's the basic intent. They know that. They say that. A Rasmussen poll that came out yesterday, among 1,000 likely voters, the question, is the mob violence that has continued for weeks in several major cities primarily legitimate outrage over the police or mostly criminals taking advantage of the situation? That was the question. The survey answer is 57% surveyed said these violent protests are comprised, quote, of mostly criminals taking advantage of the general waves of unrest. Only 32% questioned believe that the mob violence is fueled by legitimate outrage over police. 12%, they're not sure. Well, even for the 32%, I would add this. If you believe this mob violence is fueled by, quote, legitimate outrage over police, that's no excuse. There's no justification for it. Now, if you break it down age-wise, this should not come as a surprise for you. The younger respondents more likely to view the violent protest, it's rioting, it's not a protest, as stemming from legitimate outrage. 49% of the younger ones think it's primarily criminal. But most of them say, no, it's legitimate. You break it down racial. Pay attention to this. 56% of whites, 70% of other minority voters say the mob violence is largely criminal. 56% whites, 70% of other minority voters. And by other, I'm talking about other than black. 37% of blacks surveyed agree it's criminal. 41% of the black voters said it's legitimate outrage. And the question then is it going to help things or make things worse? We talked earlier about the violence in Seattle, Portland, and elsewhere. I've told you repeatedly about the businesses that got abandoned and were basically open for looting, arson, whatever the rioters wanted to do because police were either ordered out of the area or pulled back for their safety at that time. And if we had not had federal agents on the ground and sent more in to protect the federal courthouse in Portland, it would be a smoldering hulk even as we speak. Senator Cruz insists that violence is not a natural offshoot of peaceful protest against police brutality. He said it should not be a natural escalation. He wants to get to the bottom who's responsible. Well, he's already laid it out. The fact that who's going behind it and pushing it is a hard, extreme, anarchist, Marxist, be they traveling under the name with BLM or Antifa. They're looking to create chaos, violence, and anarchy. And they don't give a rat's behind about why you might be there. If they could pull you into the circle and make you part of it, then they've done what they want. Now, last month, Senator Cruz introduced what he called the Reclaim Act. Here's how he describes a Reclaim Act would be effective.
That says if you are injured or if your property is damaged during a riot and the local officials have made the deliberate decision to withhold police protection, that you can sue that city, you can sue that municipality, and get triple damages. In addition, any city that refuses to provide police protection during a riot is denied eligibility for federal funds, because what these Democratic mayors and governors are doing, it is wrong, it's endangering people's lives, and it's denying the basic civil rights that every American is entitled to.
Absolutely. And some of those businesses in Seattle and downtown Portland, I'm sure, are owned by Democrat supporters. I wonder how much they support the Democratic process at this point, I should say, the Democrat Party and the leadership. When you get someone like House Speaker Nancy Pelosi referring to federal agents in Portland protecting a federal facility as stormtroopers. Stormtroopers. She had tweeted out at one time, unidentified stormtroopers, unmarked cars, kidnapping protesters, causing severe injuries in response to graffiti. These are not the actions of a democratic republic. Trump and his stormtroopers must be stopped. So they throw that term around like that, and the idea is that you're seeing something right out of Hitler's realm and his reign of, quote, true stormtroopers. Well, there are enough people that have businesses and lives that have been disrupted in Seattle and Portland that probably were liberal prior to all this happening, and might still be, but they had to recognize this is not what I want. This is not what we signed on for. And Senator Cruz said, when Pelosi calls federal law enforcement officers stormtroopers, a term that harkens back to Nazi Germany, when she wrongfully alleges they are kidnapping Americans, that's a grotesque lie, a slander, and it endangers the lives of law enforcement. So the Reclaim Act would help businesses that have been hurt because their city government leadership decided to pull back. Just let them have it. And then we've got this lawsuit filed in a federal court in Seattle late yesterday. This is the one that will set you back on your heels and you're saying, what? Black Lives Matter protesters claiming in a suit they need money to purchase expensive equipment to be assured that they can protest safely. Their word protest, I say riot safely. They say we're being priced out of protesting for civil rights because we don't have proper protective gear to protect us from police. Five folks listed on the items they need for protective gear from police, munitions and gas, things of that nature. We need boots, gloves, helmets, gas masks. We can't just fabricate them in our backyard. We need money, and because we don't have the money to do that, we have to go out there with maybe a football helmet on and some plexiglass we put across the front to maybe protect ourselves and maybe strap a baking sheet across our chest for some protection. And look at the troops over there, the stormtroopers. They got all that gear. So they are suing, saying we have to have better equipment for our, quote, protest, or we can't exercise our First Amendment rights. If you are exercising your true First Amendment right, you won't become a riot. You don't need that kind of protection because police should not try to stop you if it's peaceful. And I would stand with you at that point. But what we're seeing is not a peaceful protest. And yet here they are claiming we have to be able to purchase expensive equipment to assure that we can protest safely and protect ourselves, give us equal protection as the police agents have. You think that suit has any possibility of moving forward? You think there's going to be someone that will agree and a judge that would say, yeah, let's... They must be given rights to the by the money so they can go riot. Don't be so fast to say no way. I want to share something else from Seattle with you and the police chief and a former candidate for city council in Seattle. You want to hear what he has to say when we continue. We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I've often called Seattle the canary in a coal mine for the rest of America. This is the kind of stuff they try out here, and it gets pushed out. For example, this LEAD program, the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion Program, was pushed out across the country and was the basis for the bail reform law that turns criminals loose in New York. And now if you look at what's happening in New York, where African-American communities are asking for police to be redeployed that were cut back by Mayor de Blasio, the same thing is going to happen here in Seattle. And Seattle was the basis for a lot of these failed policies. So that's very concerning to me. And it's concerning to me how people aren't watching what's happening in Portland and Seattle with these riots that people claim are peaceful protests, which are anything but. And now it seems like they're in favor of bringing this to their own cities.
That's R.A. Hoffman, former Seattle City Council candidate. And his opening words, he said, I've often called Seattle the canary in the coal mine for the rest of America. He said, the stuff they try here then gets replicated elsewhere across the nation. And as he just pointed out, the LEAD program, L-E-A-D, Law Enforcement Assistance Diverse Program, that became a basis for the bail reform law that's turning criminals loose in New York and elsewhere. And then you had what happened with Chop Chaz in Seattle. And then you've had what happened in Portland. Hoffman also pointed out that if we continue defunding police and they have another incident like they did in 2006, who's going to come to the rescue? You remember the event in Seattle, the Seattle Jewish Federation building, gunmen going in, opening fire in 2006, SWAT called in to intervene and finally was able to take down the gunmen and minimize the number of casualties. And he said they're talking about cutting the SWAT team. Seven out of the city council's nine members want to defund the Seattle Police Department. I'd mentioned previously, this hour, in news and commentary, that in Boston, they're cutting back that SWAT team, the very team that was responsible for capturing the Boston bomber, the Marathon bomber. And they're cutting them out. And they cut gang patrol units across New York. And in Seattle, the police chief confirming that her own home came under attack by what she described as aggressive protesters. mostly white men and women in their 20s, wearing masks, holding signs, Black Lives Matter, shouting profanity, insults at neighbors, threatening folks around the area, taking pictures of homes, asking little kids in the neighborhood what schools they go to, and then they showed up at the police chief's home. She was not there at the time. Neighbors tried to protect her home by forming somewhat of a perimeter. One of the neighbors said, "I feel incredibly unsafe." Citizens standing there protecting the police chief's home. And they say the protesters were clearly organized. Radios, walkie-talkies, phones talking back and forth with each other and taking pictures of our neighborhood to maybe come back at a future time and attack us. The left is pushing another lie again. No surprise, but it's worth us examining. That Trump is losing the election, so he's flailing out with all kinds of tactics to destroy the election coming up. And we'll also wrap up the hour about more political correctness, that the term grandfather may be racist. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Bubble, bubble, rolling stone. My son, wherever he lays, happy was his home.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Donald Trump understands that he's losing in Michigan. He's losing in Pennsylvania. He's losing in Florida. He's losing in Wisconsin. He's losing in Arizona. Hell, he's even losing in Texas, according to some recent polls. Texas is, in effect, tied. Things couldn't go worse for him. So instead of blaming himself, what is he trying to do? He's trying to undermine American democracy.
Donald Trump trying to undermine American democracy. Once again, the left, that was MSNBC Joe Scarborough. Once again, the left only brings forward the word democracy, American democracy, and the C word. Constitution when it fits their narrative. And for Joe Scarborough to sit there on his anchor desk looking so concerned and saying Donald Trump is losing and now he's trying to do whatever he can to undermine American democracy. In a period of about 10 minutes or less, he said the words American democracy. I'll give you some more examples in a moment. But again, the only time you're going to find the leftist media talking about the value and to protect American democracy is when they try to say Trump is destroying it or you are destroying it and they are the ones upholding it. That's the only time, because it fits the narrative at that point. Scarborough was trying to make the point, as you also heard him say, the polls are all against him. He's losing anywhere. In Texas, hell, he said, is a tie. Well, that's one survey. Another survey may say different. The question I would have for Scarborough and those who think those polls today, 90 days plus out from the election date, have a validity, do you remember the polls and the surveys about how Hillary was going to wipe the floor with Donald Trump? Do you remember that? And the big thing they were pushing at that time among the mainstream media, they were really afraid that, you know, Trump, he might get popular vote. I mean, he could get a lot of popular folks. They may vote for him, but the Electoral College, that's where we win. Because they would continually point out how many electoral votes he needed. And the states that they were convinced would go Hillary, he might get a big popular vote overall, but he would not get the electoral votes, and that's where Hillary would win. And when it was over and all counted up, it was Hillary who claims to have gotten more of the popular vote. Of course, we had to assume that they are all legitimate, and I don't assume that. And that Trump is the one who got the Electoral College vote. And what was the first cry out from the left at that point? Get rid of the Electoral College. That's no way to elect a president. And they continue to push that. But here they're seeing some of these polls. They're thinking this Trump has got to get desperate. I mean, and he's failing and dealing with COVID-19. And so it's all going to come down on his head. Last night, a Biden spokesperson, T.J. Ducklow, talking about some of the coverage that Biden wants to get out of the debate. So they're insisting that's not Biden. That's the right-wing media coming up with that. I'll break that down for you in just a moment. But the Biden spokesperson, T.J. Ducklow, said, quote, Donald Trump and his allies at Fox News have decided an imaginary controversy about debates will be their latest attempt to distract Americans from the president's disastrous response to the coronavirus, which has cost 150,000 Americans their lives and left millions jobless. And then again, you've got the leftists buying and pushing the story that Trump is afraid to debate Biden instead of the other way around. We went over that extensively yesterday. I'll take time to review some of it in a moment. But the other storyline they have going is one that if we had to rely on mail-in ballots, and we dealt with this extensively in the first hour, in case you missed it, that Trump will do everything he can to have the post office slow down and muck it up, as if it wouldn't happen anyway. Really? Does anyone doubt that while there might be some really hard-working people at the post office, and I know there are, there are also those who just could care less, just give me my civil service check, and I want to go home at the end of the day, and if the mail's delivered, fine. If it goes somewhere else, I don't really care. There are responsible members inside working, obviously, and there are others who, they're just taking it for what it is. Now, I wish all of them could be like a postman I had one time. He walked up to the door, and if he saw me, he'd say hello, or just say, oh, by the way, I got something I almost gave someone else. How many times you get mail from someone else not even intended for you, or that your mail doesn't get somewhere? But they're going to claim that the mail-in balloting, that which they want to push, and Trump is saying it's open for fraud, which it obviously is. They want to say, no, it's perfectly safe. The only thing that would be wrong is if Trump gets the post office to muck it up because he really wants to privatize the post office. And the other storyline is that even if we defeat Trump, he might not leave office. In fact, that was something else Joe Scarborough jumped on, that Trump is losing, and yet he might still try to fight. And he points out that, look, Hillary Clinton, she didn't put up a fight. She accepted the verdict. Really? Okay, let's listen to Scarborough.
Hillary Clinton conceded the next day. Did she complain later? Sure. If Donald Trump wants to complain after his loss, he can. But she conceded the next day. This president is doing everything he can to undermine your confidence in American democracy.
There it is again, American democracy. Doing everything he can to undermine your American democracy. That should get your hackles up. He's messing with my American democracy? Well, I'll take care of Trump. You know better. And for Scarborough to say Hillary Clinton conceded the next day. She mouthed the words, but she didn't concede. That's the very day, in fact, that evening, the resist movement against Trump had already started. But now Scarborough and the rest on the left want you to believe that Trump and the right-wing media are trying to destroy Biden to the extent that they say he doesn't really want debate. CNN, Brian Stelter, claiming that any suggestion that Joe Biden wants to get out of the presidential debate or he shouldn't debate Trump is fueled by the right-wing media. Yesterday, I ran the soundbite from former Bill Clinton press secretary Joe Lockhart, who was on CNN, urging Biden to skip the debates. He said, whatever you do, don't debate Trump. Now, his claim is that Trump will be telling so many lies, Biden won't be able to keep up with them. But there's more. You remember I also read that New York Times op-ed urging the debates be canceled this year, saying what value are they anyway? Newsweek had also published a piece about Biden should skip the debates. Several Democrats have said the debate should be canceled. A former senior advisor to Hillary Clinton said Biden shouldn't feel obligated to throw Trump a lifeline by granting him debates at all. That's all coming from the left, but if you listen to Brian Stelter, it's the right-wing media tempest just trying to push Biden to make it appear that he doesn't want to debate, and it's really not true that Biden wants to debate and that Trump is frightened. Scarborough says, believe me and protect your American democracy.
Come on. Don't go along with a guy who wants to undermine American democracy. You've believed in American exceptionalism your entire life. Now is no time to turn away from that, because a failed reality TV host is about to become a failed politician.
I think I want to do that again, Quinn. That is so funny. You heard it, folks. You heard Scarborough say, come on, don't go along with this thing that Trump is. And again, he threw in that American democracy. I told you he would use that word and they will pounce on it and they will lift it up because they think we can hold this up as if we are pristine and pure enough to hold American democracy up, saying we protect it and stand for it, and Donald Trump doesn't. And you don't want to go along with him. Yeah, let's hear Scarborough one more time.
Come on. Don't go along with a guy who wants to undermine American democracy. You've believed in American exceptionalism your entire life. Now is no time to turn away from that, because a failed reality TV host is about to become a failed politician.
Yeah, I believed in American exceptionalism. Joe Scarborough, what do you say to those on the left that are anti-American, that want to see us become Marxist? Scarborough did make some remarks I did not put in. I'll give him the benefit of this to share with you, where he said that the far, far left is disturbing to him. But I never saw him call them out during all these riots in Portland and Seattle and condemning them. I did not hear one word from him. But he says it now because he wants you to believe that he stands for protecting American democracy. He loves saying it. He doesn't believe it, but he loves saying it. All right, political correctness once again. If you use the term grandfather, you might be a racist. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I'm sure most of you grew up with the belief that grandfather was a term of endearment and of honor. Well, a Massachusetts appeals court has decided that a form of grandfather will no longer be allowed. Now, I'm referencing the fact that sometimes you've seen laws that have been in effect for a while, and maybe someone in a particular area is able to do something. You come in, you build a house nearby, and you can't do what they did. And you're told, well, their law, they were grandfathered in under the old law. By grandfathered in, it means they're protected by a previous ruling, ordinance, or whatever. Did you ever consider that that term grandfathered or grandfathering would be racist? Well, there were a couple of neighbors in Massachusetts debating over a zoning area. And so they were using the term grandfathering to explain why the new zoning rules do not apply to existing buildings. The three-judge panel in Massachusetts decided we're no longer going to use the term grandfathering because it has its origin in post-Civil War laws that prevented black people from exercising their right to vote. The judge wrote in a footnote, the phrase grandfather clause comes from 19th century laws that created voting barriers for black people. He did his research. I'm sure he's right on that was a case where it was used. Is that the only usage of it? I would say not. Was it ever intended to be the only usage? I would say not. And I don't know that it wasn't used prior to that in some other ways. But it was enough for the political correctness liberals to say, we will no longer use the term grandfathering in any of our court decisions. Well, what are you going to do instead? Well, now they're going to say they will mention that the law, instead of being grandfathered, the law, quote, provides a certain level of protection to all structures that predate applicable zoning restrictions. Yeah, that took care of a lot, didn't it? Good God. I mean, this is where we are, that we had to battle over words like that, and it has to become suddenly racist. Because someone says it's racist, that's all it takes. Now, you know, of course, several cities, New York, right in front of Trump Tower, and D.C., have allowed commissioned graffiti and murals on their streets in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. Now, in Oakland, California, we pointed out previously, Black Lives Matter was painted on a street with the permission of the Oakland City Council and mayor and so forth. Well, then a group came along and said, well, we want to paint on the street MAGA 2020 or Trump 2020. Well, rather than get in a fight, the city just decided to go back and wipe out the Black Lives Matter mural. Suddenly it wasn't that valuable if we had to defend it and allow others to be on this. So we'll just take it up. And yet other cities have continued to do it. So there are a couple of students with a group called Students for Life of America that were in D.C. using chalk, not paint, chalk, to make a notation. Now, the difference between chalk and paint, obviously, is tougher to get up if it's paint. In fact, there was a slogan at one point in D.C. that said Black Lives Matter, and someone had written behind it in paint, equals defund the police. And the city came along and got rid of the defund the police part and left the Black Lives Matter. Well, these folks are now using chalk, not paint, chalk on the sidewalk, basically colored dust. And they are writing, and they get arrested by police because they're doing it in violation. They were writing Black Lives Matter. Using chalk to write Black Lives Matter. And police were called to make them stop. That doesn't sound... What? Something's wrong with that. Black Lives Matter is in the street. You can't take chalk. Oh, you know what? I overlooked something. My bad. They were doing this in front of an abortion clinic. And they were writing Black Lives Matter, but there was one other word. I'm so sorry. Sometimes I just don't do a very good job for you. They were writing Black Lives Matter, but there was one other word that was in the midst of their writing. That what they wrote was Black Preborn Lives Matter. Oh, no, you can't do that. No. You can wipe out the preborn, we'll let it stay. But if you're going to write Black Preborn Lives Matter, even in chalk, in front of an abortion clinic, we will arrest you. And they did. They arrested them, put them in cuffs, took them away. Said, we told you if you continue doing that. Now, if they'd just written Black Lives Matter, I guess it'd be okay. But that one word, Black Preborn Lives Matter, was enough to get them arrested. I'm so sorry I misled you that I didn't point that out right away. I'm just that bad of a reporter. See if I do better tomorrow. Or worse. It could get worse. You never know. I do appreciate you listening. Let your friends, family, and even your enemies know that we're on the air. Because tomorrow we'll be back here for you. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.